message is high anxiety, anxious. I'm having those thoughts of anxiety that just rush in, that seek to take the center of our hearts and the center of our thoughts. Anxiety is a powerful weapon that is formed against us. And I want us to look at the life of Daniel, how he dealt with anxious days. Daniel chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, those are two dramatic words, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. They carry a lot of weight because when we think of both the name and the city, we think of what? We think of sin. We think of evil. And here in the life of Daniel, in comes this king that is out to conquer and to control, comes into the city of Jerusalem, the city of God, and by God allowing, they are caught and captured. But let's go further. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Daniel begins with devastating news. Here, through the allowance of God, Daniel faces his greatest struggle, and even to the point the anxiety rolls in. And here are some of the things that Daniel dealt with. First of all, defeat. The city of God now is being conquered by an evil ruling king. Not only did he endure defeat, but one of the most precious aspects of Daniel's heart was the temple of God. And now vessels that once were in the precious temple of God are now captured and brought into a place of defilement, into the temple of foreign gods. Desecrated is how Daniel felt. But it goes beyond that. He felt and was captured. The will of someone else came and took control of his life and captured him. And not only that, he was exiled. He was in a place now not of his choice. But here I am. In our lives, many times in this walk on this earth, we will find ourselves in places that we do not desire to be. And that word exile carries a powerful thought. It's taking us from where we want to be and placing us in a whole nother situation. And in all of our lives, we could look back at 2020 and say, this is not the year that I wanted, but this is the year that we found ourselves in. And for many, 2021 may be filled with even more surprises, and we may feel even more high anxiety. If we're honest, we understand anxious days, or let me put it this way, we acknowledge anxious days. And anxious days are filled with anxious thoughts, high anxiety, pouring in to capture our hearts and to distract us from the real purpose of why God's placed us here. But see, Daniel, a life of wisdom in troubled times. We can learn so much from Daniel and how he handled the troubled days that God allowed in his life. But this is a struggle. Troubled minds lead troubled lives. If our minds are overcome by anxiety, the fruit of that is not only a troubled mind, but a troubled life. Anxiety is an assault upon our minds. And if anxiety is going to be dealt with, our mind must be guarded. But see, Daniel faced a similar situation. This anxiety that obviously came against him, he had to make a choice which source would form his heart. Like Daniel, we must choose the source that will form our heart. But see, anxiety has this challenge. It comes in and it tells us, you're not in control. Anxiety comes in and says, I am in control. You're just going to have to deal with what is dealt to you. Anxiety comes in and it is seeking to, again, capture and to place our lives in exile in places that we do not want to be. And it will scream out to us that it is the one that is in control. But God will never release from us the power of self-will and choice. But this is a statement that we have to look at very closely. Anxiety and peace will never coexist. It's a choice. Anxiety and peace will not forge a unity. Like oil and water, they cannot be formed in oneness. Either we walk in peace or we walk in anxiety. Anxiety, again, will make no room for peace, and peace will make no room for anxiety. One will cast the other away. Does anxiety or peace occupy your heart? And I'm speaking to myself this morning as well. Does anxiety or peace have my heart? Which one is dominant in my life? Do you have a choice of which will rule within? As we said earlier, the choice is anxiety or peace. Like Daniel, we're living in Babylon. This is not the world, maybe for you, but this is not the world I ordered. And I know you the same way. The way things are is not the choice of your heart. And it's like this. You order something, and it shows up at your door. You open that box, you look at it. If it's not what you want, what happens? You send it back. You return it. And Amazon, I'm sorry, Amazon's got us addicted a lot of times. It's too easy, right? I'm like, please, stop being so easy. But if it comes in, you see it, you don't like it, you send it back, no problem. You get your money back. But life is not that way. Life is not that way when we're living in Babylon. We cannot send that back, meaning we cannot order our world the exact way that we want it. And God has chosen to place us upon this earth for us to deal with the Babylonian experiences, like Daniel. There are times that we walk and we feel very defeated. There are times where we look around us and we see desecration. Things that were once seen as holy are no longer respected. And then there are times where we see the captivity of sin that is waging its weapon against us. And we see lives around us that are captivated by it, blinded by it, and we feel at times nothing is going to change. And then this reality, exiled in a position that I don't want to be in a condition that I don't want to be in, exiled. But again, Daniel must choose the source that would form his heart. He felt the stress of all of these events in his life. But just like us, these things touch our lives, and we must choose. Will anxiety form us, or will peace form us? But see, God hasn't left us alone with this anxiety that comes against us. God has directives concerning anxiety. Can you say amen? God has directives for dealing with anxiety. So if God did not have compassion for our situation, he would have never addressed anxiety. In fact, Jesus knows what anxiety is all about because he felt it himself. And here is the directives from God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We've been looking at this verse over the last few months. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, the world looks at that and says, simplistic, pipe dream. Cliches. This is the breath of God. When you go to the doctor and he gives you a report of your condition, and he looks you dead in the eye and says, this is how it is, and then he may hand you a prescription, you take that serious, don't you? This is God's answer for anxiety, and it is not a false hope. It is a living hope. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And there's so much in this verse, but today we're going to talk about the first step in this dealing with anxiety. But first we got to answer this. Do not. Is that kind of simplistic? Do not. What is God saying in his word? That is not a choice that I give you. Meaning, if you want to honor me, do not be anxious. Now, for people that don't deal with anxiety a lot, that's a little bit easier. But all of us are wired differently. All of us deal with different emotional situations and chemical situations. But this scripture is written for everyone. And so some will see anxiety rush in greater measure than others. And it doesn't mean that you're abandoned by God or somehow less. But God has equipped you with everything that is needed for when anxiety comes, his command is the same. Do not be anxious. So that right away tells me we have choice of how we deal with anxiety. Now, the battle's going to be different for us all, but here's the other thing. There's got to be something I can be anxious about, right? There's got to be something worthy of my anxiety. That's how we think. And God already knew how we process things. Because anxiety does not live in our hearts without a license. So here, do not be anxious, and God just covers all the bases here, about anything. Is there anything that God allows us to be anxious about? I mean, this is just clearly in our face, right? And God isn't trying to be mean. He's not. He's not trying to be insensitive. He's telling us anxiety has no place in the heart of those that trust in God. Now, is anxiety going to be knocking at our door every day? It's going to come. It's going to come and it's going to flex its muscle before us. And it's going to tell us we're already defeated, so just let me in. Let me live in you. But God again tells us, do not be anxious about anything. But as you saw in the scripture, he doesn't stop there. He tells us how. As followers of Christ, we must reject the path of anxiety in our journey. Anxiety will always seek room within your heart. It's just the way it is. This came to mind for me when I was thinking about anxiety's call. You've seen these before, right? Some of you so young, you don't know what that is. But this was a common thing on a counter. You walk up to the counter, and the person wasn't there at the desk. Isn't that nice little? What did that mean? I'm here. I need some attention. And then there are times where nobody showed up. But, oh, and it would ring out, and normally somebody would show up. But that's how anxiety is. In our lives, things are going good, feeling peaceful, all of a sudden, I'm feeling good. Anxiety calls out. Anxiety will do all that it can to get our attention. And you would say, is that normal? Yes, that is normal. Because we live in a battleground. We live in this earth that is here in as a boot camp for us to get ready for what awaits. And God could just totally silence that bell. But he's chosen to allow us to hear those thoughts. Even when they get and aggressive, he's allowed us to hear those thoughts, but he's empowered us to handle those thoughts correctly. Anxious thoughts, again, are relentless. They're consistent. God commands concerning, I want to make sure I didn't jump too far ahead here, and I think maybe I did. Let's look at this. Anxiety sought to fill the heart of Daniel. But God has an answer for all of us in how we're to deal with anxiety. God's command concerning our response to anxiety. Again, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. We can always make a case for anxious thoughts. We have the ability to make a room for those anxious thoughts. But God will never ask us to do the impossible. How challenging is it when we battle with something as dramatic as anxiety? And then we hear this command from God that says, do not be anxious. But we battle with anxiety. In ourselves, we could think, God is not being sensitive to what my struggle is. But God understands every weakness that we have, every battle that we have, and He will never set us up for failure. God would never ask His children to do the impossible. God's commands set us up for victory, not defeat. And it goes back to this, there's nothing impossible with God. And who is with you? God. So any command that He gives, He equips us to be able to implement it, not in our strength, but in His strength. See, when anxiety comes, and we know this, it's at our door. It's at times hunting us down. God says the first step is choose prayer. That's what He says. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. But it doesn't stop there. The steps are ordered by God, prescribed by God, but in everything by, say that word with me, prayer. The enemy comes in and he wants us to think this way. That's religious platitudes. That's just pie in the sky. That's just some backwards thinking. How can prayer conquer anxiety? You're not being realistic. You're just trying to buy into a false hope. But the problem is, what is our definition of prayer as we talked about last week or the week before? God doesn't give us false hope. So what does it mean when anxiety comes, then I say a quick little prayer and everything's going to be okay? Is that what it means? No. Because prayer is so much more than a simple human definition. For many, all prayer is you sit, you bow your hands, and you say a couple of words unto God, and that's it. But prayer is much more than that. And prayer makes anxiety tremble and flee. And why? Why is that the case? Prayer is not external. Prayer is not external. If prayer was only external, it would not benefit us in any way, shape, or form. God is not awaiting our words in heaven just to get those words out to Him. God is not focused in on words just coming up to Him. What God is focused in on is the heart that those words come from. It is not the repetition of the words that are lifted up. Prayer that is external is weak and ineffective. Prayer is woven deep within the soul and the spirit of man. Prayer is woven into our very existence as new creations created by the grace and the mercy of God. It's kind of like this. In case of emergency, break the glass. You ever seen those? You're at a place and there's a fire extinguisher in a case, or there's a little switch that you pull down in case of what? Fire. And some of those are covered in glass, and they say, in case of emergency, break the glass. You ever been tempted to break the glass? Prayer is not a 911 call. My phone has this weird feature on it. If you hit the button a number of times, it will automatically call 911. And then on the phone, it begins a countdown before the call is actually made. And there's been multiple times that I would hit the phone, and I think you have to press the button like 5 times, and then it starts to call 911. And you know this about 911. If it calls 911, 911 is going to what? Call you. And I'll hit that button trying to cancel. But for many, prayer is like break glass in case of emergency. Or call 911 in times of emergencies. But if that is the existence of our understanding of prayer, it will not be that which will overcome anxiety. For prayer is a relationship with God. See, Daniel felt the emergency. But one thing we see about Daniel, of all Bible characters, people mentioned in the Bible, I think I heard this the other day, only Jesus and Daniel, there's nothing listed in their journey that was negative about character. So Daniel, forced and pressured with anxiety, I'm sure he had issues because he was human, but they're not recorded in Scripture. His relationship with God was so solid, so that when anxiety rolled in like a wave, a massive tidal wave, he was able to endure and press through. Not only just endure, but to change the whole direction of a nation that ruled the majority of the world at that time. Doesn't that say something? What is it that God has entrusted to us? And we know this, God is no respecter of persons. We each have our unique purpose upon this earth. What is it that anxiety is seeking to destroy that God wants accomplished in our lives? Because Daniel was called to change the direction of an empire. And anxiety tried to cancel it, but it did not win out. And in fact, to this day, the way God utilized Daniel has prepared us for future events that are coming. Exiled, Daniel. You're not where you want to be. God has forsaken you. You're captured, Daniel. You're under the control of an evil, evil king. Look how God has left you, sent you away from the holy city. You have been an evil steward of the vessels of my temple. They are now in temples of foreign gods. You know, thoughts came to Daniel. Anxious thoughts. But Daniel knew the power of prayer. What is seeking to fill our minds right now? Is prayer woven deep in our spirit and our soul? Or is it simply the external element that we reach to in times of emergency, like a 911 call? Prayer, again, is a relationship with God. And so when anxiety pours in, the first step that God tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Prayer is worship and devotion unto God. How do I know that I'm in a relationship with God that is seated on worshiping Him as my Creator and seated in devotion to Him? It is seen through my communication with Him, my prayer to Him. Not just in times that are set aside, but throughout my day, throughout my steps, I'm in communication with the Spirit of God because God has chosen to place His Spirit within. And only those that walk in devotion and true worship to God will endure the battle of anxiety. For someone this morning, you may say, anxiety beat me up really bad, and I tasted the pain, and it scares me half to death to see it because I know what it did to me before. So it comes with its history to say, look at what I did to you back in so-and-so. So remember that, because I'll do it to you again. That's how anxiety plays. But you know this, you are still standing because God did not abandon you in the battle. You saw who the victor is, and don't forget that the battle was won, and the battle will be won again. Pray, devotion, God. You say anxiety doesn't stay. Don't let it stay in my mind, God. Let your peace rush in, Lord. Don't let anxiety win the day. Don't let it have me, God. For I am devoted to you. I count you worthy of my thoughts and my steps. Circumstances did not separate Daniel from devotion to God. That's anxiety's goal. Say, see how bad it is? God isn't really there for you. You can step aside from thinking about God. Just think about your anxious thoughts. Grounded in a true relationship was Daniel. And that is the victory that God has for us. Prayer, talking to God, interacting with God, in a relationship with God, puts anxiety in its place. Know God better than you know anxiety. Now I want to say that again. Know God better than you know anxiety. So what does that really mean? It means our anxious thoughts seek to entertain and capture us. And after a while, as we let them live, we begin to be in relationship with them. And we begin to know them in detail. We begin to express them through the reality that from the mind they now have captured the heart, and our words proclaim the presence of anxiety in us. Now let me just say this real plain. We need to talk about our struggles, without a doubt. But the issue again is, do not answer anxiety's call, because it will seek to dominate our thoughts and not only dominate our thoughts, but work its will in our hearts. And then as we evaluate our thoughts and our words, we'll see that which truly has our heart. Anxiety, again, will seek to make itself known. Anxiety summons you to its control. The bell tolls. It's a signal. When the ship comes in, it guides. When the bell tolls, it's calling out to lead, to direct. When the bell tolls, it seeks to summon. Anxiety summons us to its control. Prayer does not entertain, pray and do not entertain anxiety. Daniel, a life of wisdom in troubled times, may that be the example that we leave upon this earth, for we are living in a Babylonian experience. We look around, what is called good is really what? Evil. What is called truth is a big lie. And we are seeing it form not only our minds, but seeking to form our hearts and to change our trust and worship and devotion to God. We are in days of Babylon. But when we think of the greatest victories that we can view in Scripture, it's very hard to see a life greater than the life of Daniel. The great challenges that he faced did not separate him from the glorious victories of God. And may that be us today. May we experience the victories in these days that seek to control us and to bring us into the control, the summoning of anxiety. I'd like us this morning, if we can just bow for a moment in prayer. Today we will take of the Lord's table. And I would ask for those that would like to partake in communion today that you would come and receive the elements, take them back to your seat, and we will partake of them together as you prepare them. Thank you, Lord. Father, it is your command that we participate in communion as a way of remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And we ask today, as well as you've instructed us, if there is any unrepented sin in our lives, if there is any unforgiveness in our heart, that we would repent and make right those relationships, so that when we partake of these elements, that we do not partake of them in vain or dishonor to you. In Jesus' name.